Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hello, hello.
Welcome, everybody, to the show. We're delighted that you're here. You're not hearing Jeannie's voice because she's in the front steering the canoe. What can I say? Anyway, this is Michael Rice. We are here to support you with forgiveness, the Aramaic style of forgiveness, of course. And we're actually sitting anchored in the middle of the Itchetechne River in north central Florida with some friends, Daniel and Susan, who invited us to come out on the river. We were going to get back in time to do the show from home, but then it was so gorgeous out here. It's about 70 degrees and sunny, absolutely beautiful. You will hear some wild sounds in the background. And so we're here sending you all the awesome energy that happens from these beautiful springs that are here that we're floating down the Santa Fe River, the Itchetechne off the Santa Fe. And we're delighted to be here to support you. Our project, of course, is one of the projects we have is we're inviting each of you to become a member of the team that changed the world, and that is the team that eliminated war from planet Earth. We have a plan, and we're asking you to participate in that. What is the plan? Well, if you look at the root cause of war, its single cause is easily identifiable. We, refusing to be responsible for what's going on inside of us, find somebody else to blame. And we find somebody else to blame, the ultimate extreme of that is, well, if I can just get rid of them, then I can have their property and I won't have to deal with what's going on inside of me. So we're inviting you to move to a level of responsibility in your world where you choose to put an end to that cycle, where you take responsibility for whatever's going on inside of you. And if what's going on inside of you includes some form of hostility or fear that you've been blaming somebody else for, what we're going to do is invite you to engage in the process of forgiveness. In the Aramaic language, the word forgive has nothing to do with I'm going to let you off the hook for the terrible thing you've done to me. In the Aramaic language, forgiveness is the tool with which if you've got something terrible going on inside of you, something painful, something of hostility or fear, you go inside yourself and delete it, remove it, thus removing the cause of disease, thus removing the cause of war. If you'd like to access the tools for how to forgive, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.com. That's whyagain.com. And on the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets. The first, is it seven links now, Jeannie? The first seven links will give you the whole story of how to forgive, including now 5 different radio shows where we've walked somebody through step-by-step the forgiveness process. You know, sometimes we'll get people who look at the forgiveness sheet and they'll just become so fogged in their minds, they'll think there's something complex about the sheet and it becomes difficult. But what we've discovered, of course, is that the fog is in the mind. It's not on the sheet. The sheet's pretty simple. Every step is just A, B, C. It's real easy. However, to clean the fog out of the mind and assist in understanding how to do the process, you're welcome to listen to any one of five different radio shows. Link number three, number four, number five are different styles of worksheets that we've done with people live, and the worksheet is the forgiveness process. How do you change the contents of your mind? And then the day before yesterday and yesterday, we did a two-part forgiveness process or show around the idea of forgiveness. And we really appreciate Julie's willingness, Julie from way out there in Washington State, the wilds of Washington, having called in and gone through a pretty deep and intimate process of owning and moving through some things. And you'll see, especially in that particular worksheet, as well as the number three worksheet, you'll see what we call the Hydra effect. And the Hydra effect being, in Greek mythology, there was this creature called the Hydra. And when you cut off its head, several other heads grew out of that space. And so you'll see how, as you drill down into the mind, when you begin to forgive, you'll start tapping into all sorts of things that operate under the surface. And interestingly enough, in the Aramaic language, they had such an understanding of this psychological dynamic that it was actually a suffix they would add to a word. And when they added that suffix to a word, the suffix was uta, that suffix would express that whatever word was on the front end of the suffix was an unconscious dynamic that was controlling perception, decision, and behavior. If you ever said to yourself, I'm never going to do that again, or I don't know why I did that, forgiveness is what you want to engage in order to clean that up in your life. And so we're here to support you in that. And, of course, on Fridays, we had an awesome show last Friday with Dale Hoffman, who's becoming one of the world's foremost Aramaicists, that is working with the Aramaic language. So on Fridays now, at least for the month of March, and we're hoping it'll go on beyond that, we'll have Dale with us, and we'll be talking about the nuances of the Aramaic language and the awesome, awesome understanding and material that's there. And it's a language that, interestingly enough, showed up in several places on the planet simultaneously with no developmental phases, just the whole language right there fully developed. And I'm not sure exactly what that means. It might be some kind of a direct language, but it is amazing what was understood by the man named Yeshua. Of course, that's a man that's popularly known as Jesus, but his name was not Jesus. It was not Jesus, the copy of a Greek god Zeus. His name was Yeshua. And he taught a process of going inside yourself and removing the very capacity for any form of hostility or fear, recognizing that every conversation that's ever taken place, supposedly in his name, that verifies, justifies, or allows any form of hostility or fear is totally, completely insane and totally and completely in contradiction to what he taught. And so we're here to enhance that conversation here on the planet, and in particular to support people in learning to forgive, and of course all the corollary tools that we've developed out of the Aramaic that go hand in hand with that. Dr. Tim, how do you be today, sir? How did your support group go last night?
Well, I'm doing quite well, thank you. And the support group was magnificent as usual. We had someone volunteer to do their first worksheet in the group, and get completely blown away by the realization that a lot of work she thought she had done with different issues in the past was basically just buried, and she still had more work to do on those issues. So it was interesting because she started doing a worksheet on sinus pain and throat pain that had plagued her for years but has been gone for 3 or 4 years, and she thought that she had done the work to dismantle it.
Right.
And so she literally, for the first time in quite a while, we had somebody start a worksheet, and the situation in 1A was a physical pain that they had. So quite productive, and the revelation she got was that she is still judging herself very harshly for things she did in the past that she would not do if she were in her loving mind. So things that she was feeling anger or fear.
Yeah, that old judgment demon's a big one. And, you know, of course, it's usually just an internalized replica of a power person's criticism and abuses that have been heaped upon us. And that internal dynamic, the realities formed out of it in relationship to the power person, just and we do it to ourselves. And oftentimes, totally and completely at that unconscious level where we're in those OODA brain cells without even realizing it and knowing it. Well, that's awesome that that you're doing that with people and supporting that that healing process. And, you know, I've come to the point after 25 years of working with Aramaic forgiveness of recognizing that there are all kinds of really wonderful philosophies out there, really wonderful thoughts about and ways about living. And many of them are simply ways of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic if it doesn't involve forgiveness. And not the style of forgiveness where I go, you made this really terrible mistake that really hurt me, so I'll forgive you. But really, instead, going inside ourselves and removing the hurt that never belonged. And until one does that, one gets to live, you know, basically the title of our main workshop, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Because as long as the content is there, there'll be 1,000 variations on a theme and 1,000 different places to play that reality out once again. So it's time to get off the Titanic. It's time to really, truly engage ourselves and move into that forgiveness process. And so thank you for all the work you do with folks on an ongoing basis.
You're quite well observing. You have a question about who's on the phones, or?
Sure. Tell us how. Anything happening in the chat?
Well, the chat room is quiet. Peacemaker's in there just with a welcome. And
Peacemaker.
We have about 9 other people, mostly guests, in the chat room. And we've got 9 callers, none with their hands up just yet. So, again, the number is 646-200-4169. And if you'd like to speak to Michael, just press number 1 and your hand goes up. And as soon as I say that, here's somebody with their hand up. Area code 541. Are you ready to take that, Michael?
Sure, let's go for it. 541, welcome to the show.
Hi, guess who?
Well, hey, Julie.
Hi.
Hi, welcome back. How are your dozen extra work days going?
Oh, it's going really well. That was really helpful and clarifying for me and a lot of people. So you sound wonderful and serene where you are. I can imagine it. It must be wonderful.
Well, I'm laying here with 1 foot in the water and the sun beaming down through the trees. Every once in a while you'll hear these bird sounds in the background and just enjoying the sunshine. Had about a half-hour nap in the canoe, and Jean has been steering the canoe while I've just been laying back, being lazy, and it's been awesome.
Well, it's a really good thing for the rest of the collective here and the collective family to just tap into. It's just really nice. Thank you.
Yeah, and with the fact that I think when we finished the workshops to head here, we had just finished doing, I think, 28 or 29 days straight of workshop. So we're taking some time to just catch up with ourselves. And we have a friend here who has come forward and is helping to revamp the website. I don't know how soon we're going to see the impact of that. Daniel, do you have a thought? 2 or 3 weeks? So in 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to see a whole new technology and a whole new look to the Why Again website. So we're here visiting with them for Jeannie. You know, she's created the website today, and so you're going to do some learning on the new technology that's going on. And I don't even know what all we're going to have. We haven't really gotten into that conversation. I think there's going to be some private areas and all kinds of cool things will be happening with the website to take it to the next level. So we're with Daniel and his wife Susan here. We're guests of theirs, and they suggested we come cruise.
You sound today. Like you're cruising. That's
we
what
are,
we get to
we
do,
are.
Isn't it? We get to cruise when we when we remove things. Instead of lose, we get to cruise.
There you go.
So I just wanted to mention, you're coming in really clear, and Dr. Tim was really faint in the beginning, so I don't know if he's just not hitting the microphone or what, but he was faint. And that's just a report to you. And I want to run by something that happened the day after the first day that we worked, which was the opening and the really good touch day. I had an appointment to go to. This is very dreamlike, and I still haven't really interpreted it entirely, but I think you might like it. I was driving to an appointment, and a garbage truck pulled out in front of me, like just kind of cutting me off, which is really unusual in Ashland. You know, people are pretty considerate, and especially a huge garbage truck trying to beat me, you know, when I'm going 40 miles an hour. So anyway, that was funny. There it was, right in front of me, a garbage truck going ahead of me. And I'd just gotten done, you know, getting in touch with my garbage. So I followed it for a while, and I decided I'm going to take a picture. It was very safe to do so. So I got my camera ready. I get it ready. I snap the picture, and right after I snap the picture, coming in the opposite direction was a U-Haul truck. And so I've been going through moving about 5 times now in the last 6 months, and it's okay. I'm not upset. I'm just trusting my process. So I'm constantly aware of all the stuff I haul around and keep with me, and you know, the garbage, and I haven't gotten through it all. But it was just like a dream how that truck pulled out in front of me, and then all of a sudden in the opposite direction, a U-Haul is coming, and they're like one and the same and going in opposite directions.
And so it sounds all your garbage away, is that it?
Yeah, it's either that or it's that choice. It's a split-second choice of, you know, do I want to keep hauling it around when I'm doing the work of removing it, you know? It's like there's always that choice. Am I going to hang on, or am I going to let it be removed?
Good catch. That's powerful.
I don't know if that's it or not, but that, anyway, I needed to articulate it, and I thought it was a funny image. And so, there, I'm taking up your radio time. Sorry about that.
Well, that's okay. We're delighted. And the Hydra Effect worksheet came off of that one we did over the last 2 shows.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything to report on what you've been doing with those and the results of it?
No, because honestly, I had too busy of a day yesterday. And I did spend 3 hours the first day sorting through and preparing to do the worksheets. So I must say I haven't done them, and so I do plan on it. I really am busy, and I hate saying that, but it's true. But not too busy to do the work that's important. So
where are you at with your commitment on worksheets? How many are you committed to a day now?
Well, I actually didn't really make a commitment, did I? I said maybe I would do 2 a day, and I haven't done that. So I'm going to recommit to 2 a day. And if
awesome.
I do more, that's great. If I do more, that's great, you know, but 2 a day.
Fabulous. Well, you have my support, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Is there anything we can support you with on those worksheets? I know we covered a lot of territory in the last 2 days on the show.
I will call if I need it. I'm not focused on them yet.
Okay. Very cool.
I think I had a question. I did have a question.
Yeah.
You know, when the Hydra effect starts to happen, I can write another sheet, you know, put something that comes up on another sheet. I wasn't sure if I put it in 1B, like 1A and 1B, or if I put it immediately into number 3, or maybe I have to, there's a way to discern which place I put it. What I did is I put them all on 1A and 1B for starters. So but
well, what I've found is when I'm doing worksheets and I touch into that hydra effect, I touch into something else going on at the surface, I'll oftentimes find myself in different parts of the worksheet. Sometimes this relates to dad. So I'll just go over and put a worksheet on dad related to whatever my current worksheet is. Sometimes I'll get clear, like right on the spot, geez, you know, this is the same goal I had for my brother when I was a kid, and, you know, he'd never cooperate with me. So then I'd go over and I'd put brother in number 1A and the situation, he'd never cooperate with me. Or I might get an insight as to something related, say, for instance, to family, that would go in number 6. And I'll say, man, if I do this work, that changes the way I see this problem that I had with my family. So I'll go down and put that in number 6, the way I see it now, after forgiveness, if I see that shift and that change. So it really depends. Or I might get in touch with, something that I really need to be doing in a current situation or relationship in my life. I'll see that, well, this is something I need to be offering to, you know, to Jeannie, that I need to be in my being to offer to Jeannie. And so I might, in number 7, you know, here's the goal. I'll put up at the top Jeannie and then put the goal in number 7, the new goal. And then I'll work backwards there. Jeannie calls that backing into a worksheet. We kind of invented that term and that routine of backing into a worksheet. And so wherever it fits best is where I would put it in. And then I just do as many steps as came to me in that instant and then go back to the original worksheet.
Okay, that is really helpful, and also that is a whole nother level of awareness in doing the worksheets. You're not just running through a worksheet. You're actually reorganizing your brain cells, you know, so that you really you're cultivating, you know, compartments in your mind to access everything and utilize these new brain cells. That's really good.
Well, of course, if you listen to the psychologist to tell us, we might see as much as 5% of what's going on in terms of our. This is giving yourself permission to become more deeply aware of your internal processes and making sure that they're consistent with your conscious purpose, as opposed to there being conflicting things going on at that other level of the mind. So that's, to me, where it becomes so powerful, is that you're letting yourself delve down into parts of the mind where, you know, most of humanity's never gone.
Yeah, and safely. And it just does open the way. This is the way, the truth, and the life. It really is.
That's it. That's it, for sure.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Our call in number is 646-200-4169. If anybody has a question for us, something to share about their process, somewhere that you need support. And we're getting some background noise from somebody's phone. If you could mute your phone if you're on, that would be awesome. And Dr. Tim, is David with us today?
I don't know. And it's confusing about the background noise because I'm hearing it, but you and I are the only ones, and Julie was the only one who was on, so maybe it was through her phone. We had somebody else raise their hand, 702,
right.
If you're ready to take that.
Let's go for it.
702 area code, you're on the air.
Welcome. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Area code 702.
Is this Dr. Andrade?
Yes, it is.
It is. Awesome. Good to hear your voice, sir.
Well, it's good to hear you. It's interesting because for some reason I get in queue without having to push the 1 button. I don't know how that happens. This is the second time.
It's a miracle.
Well, we're having our support group, Claudia's back involved in it, and we're primarily dealing with the people that really need to be there, that they've identified it. Those are the people who are substance abusers, and it's been it's been a great experience for us, and the people tend to show up on a regular basis. They are forced into trying to deal with their issues and problems, whereas the most people that go on in a day-to-day existence tend to make excuses why they can't show up. But it's been good for us, and it's been good for them. The one thing that I've noticed through recent experience has been that the people who are taking drugs, most of these are prescription medications, don't want to stop taking them. It's not the withdrawal effect. It's the fact that they're used to taking a pill to deal with their problems. And when they're faced with decreasing the dosage of medication, they're so they're so stressed and anxious that they just can't even get themselves to contemplate a decrease from 2 to 1 and 1 to 0. Any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I identify with that totally, because people who are doing what the culture considers to be non-drug drugs are exactly the same. I was talking with a woman the other day. You know, we're doing 2 back-to-back 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensives here in Florida starting in April. And there was a woman who contacted us and wanted to register for the second intensive. So we set it up for her to do that. And I was chatting with her face-to-face, and she was saying, well, you know, is there anything I need to do to get ready for it? And I said, well, you know, one of the things we'll be doing is we'll not be serving coffee, so you might want to back off if you're doing coffee. And it was just like she looked at me like aghast and like like confused. And just the thought of, and this is coffee, just the thought of, she almost backed out. She almost, you know, she'd handed me her payment for the intensive, committed herself. And then it was just like, well, I'm going to go 9 days without caffeine, without coffee. And just over that simple a drug now. And many people don't think of caffeine as a drug. We actually were in a Panera Bread store a couple weeks ago in Fort Lauderdale. And a young girl behind the counter looked like she was probably 20. And she was sharing with us that she had just recently been fired from Starbucks. And when she applied for the job at Starbucks, somebody didn't look at her application to see that she was only 16. And, you know, they thought she was 20, as we did when we were chatting with her. And she said, oh, I got fired because they told me that I couldn't serve drugs in their store if I was only 16, that I had to be 18. So it's the same process. And basically, I think there's a level where people intuitively know, if I don't have this anesthetic, if I don't have this suppressor, I'm going to have to deal with something, and I don't know whether, you know, I can do that or not. I don't know if I'm equipped. I mean, it really puts people right into a healing crisis, right on the spot. Just the body tapping into, I'm not going to be able to keep my anesthetic, brings confusion, it brings fear, it brings hostility oftentimes, you know. I've watched people. I remember I was in we were doing an intensive in the Bahamas back, oh, probably 15 years ago, and there was a fellow there who'd done quite a bit of our work. And the last day of the workshop, we had the people who owned the resort we were at say, hey, we'd like to create a special meal for you. And we were doing our final session during the dinner, and they offered the opportunity to serve alcohol. They had wine and beer. And I said, no, we don't really want to do that. And there was one guy there who was quite adamant that he wanted to have a beer with dinner. And I said, you know, if you all want to have beer with dinner, that's perfectly fine with me, but I won't teach while you're doing it. And this guy really became upset with me. And it was about 5 years later, after he'd been in AA for a year, that he said, you know, that should have been a clue for me that I had a problem with alcohol. But it didn't occur to him as he's sitting there saying, I don't want to do this, you know, this dinner without alcohol. It didn't occur to him that he had a problem with alcohol and that, you know, it was a threat to take it away from him once it had been offered. So that would be my take on it. And, of course, there's a worksheet and, you know, inviting people to be willing to look at giving up the crutch of the drug and to face what comes up for them, which is just all kinds of crazy stuff.
Certainly they have it, certainly all have it, and it's something that takes a lot of work, and that's what we're trying to do, is to assist them with our group meetings to look at these issues. And we've had some interesting transitions where a gentleman came in who could not understand that his anger with the garbage man was not really his problem, and that anybody else in that situation would see it the same way. And he's come a long way for starting to change the way that he thinks of things. So it's been good with the initial steps, and people start to understand that they have to bring it upon themselves to see things differently and to remove issues in them. And it starts the process working, and that's what we're getting with some of these people, which is, I think, is a good first step. Hello?
We're hearing you. Dr. Andraki?
Yes.
We're hearing
you. Excuse me.
I don't know what happened to Michael, but...
I was saying that there's a great line in the Course in Miracles that says... problems are meaningless, but don't tell that to somebody who's in the middle of one. And it's a threat. It threatens and removes an identity when so identified with this hostility, this fear, this problem that they see is out there, to take it away, it's like, oh, wait a minute, you're taking away my identity here. This is who I am. And that's a big threat to people. When you do that, and of course, one of the most common drugs is hostility. That's one of the fastest way to jump into codependent relationship, because of course, when I'm in hostility, I'm usually in hostility with somebody else, and whoever my hostility is pointed at, they're the ones that I think are causing what's happening in my mind, and they're the ones that need to change in order for that which is going on in my mind to change, which of course is ludicrous. But that's the training and the belief system of the world, and so turning that around is a big key. And you know, you've heard me say oftentimes in workshops, how many have ever been to an organ recital, and you know about who's had the most organs removed, and who had the last organ removed, and who's having the next organ removed, because that's suffering, and that pain is oftentimes many people's actual identity.
Well, thanks for all of your assistance, and we're doing what we can with the people that are interest and constant encouragement to listen, to have them listen to the radio show and to download the book, and we're doing our part, and I'll let you know from time to time how things are going, but so far it's going, I think,
awesome. Well, we appreciate you a lot for doing what you're doing, and we're planning our trip next fall to be heading out in your direction, so... We'll be in touch to set some things up, and as we move west next year, so that's our 2013 is where we're going to be heading.
Excellent, and we'll start to promote that with your presence there for workshops. We have some people who have interest in that, so we'll have we'll start to promote that and make sure that we can allow people to get as much as they want.
Cool. Any additional developments with the drug court there in Pahrump?
Haven't talked to the judge, but as we continue to build experience with what we're doing and get to solidify our courses, that I think that we're going to move in that direction. I feel that's going to happen with on the right time frame.
That's awesome. Maybe what we can do is plan ahead and maybe plan an intensive when we're out there to train some of the drug court staff that was interested in doing it last time we were there, and doing it there locally, and seeing what we can develop in that direction.
Well, the interest is there, the willingness, the spark to get this started. So as it unfolds, we'll put things into the right position and allow things to happen. So I feel we're on the right direction. So thank you for everything, and Claudia and I are working on it on a daily basis, and we feel that we're making a difference.
That's awesome. And tell your lovely wife, Claudia, we send our hugs and our love, and we'll look forward to the next time we get face-to-face. You know, that we had talked last year, and she was thinking about making teacher training. Maybe this summer that will work for her. It's going to be in late July sometime. I'm not sure the date's offhand, but the latter part of July. So maybe throw that thought out to her, and we'll look forward to the next time we get face-to-face, and I appreciate you a lot.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Thanks for everything you're doing.
Okay, Doc. We love you.
Blessings.
Bye-bye. Very cool. Well, that was Dr. Stephen Androcki, who is associated with six or seven different offices in the Las Vegas and Pahrump, Nevada area. And last year when we were out there, we actually spent quite a bit of time out there and trained 20 medical assistants in the process of forgiveness to work within the medical practice there, which is very courageous and very, very powerful and empowering for people. And I see that as one of the roles of the physician is to empower the individual in their lives and in their own process. And Stephen and Claudia, you guys are just doing awesome work in that regard. So very cool. As is Dr. Tim in Chicago and has been for 7 years now. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it, Tim?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
It is.
That means David has been in Heartland for 7 or 8 years now.
Yeah, he's been there for quite a while. Is he on the show?
I don't know. He doesn't have a hand up. I don't know his area code. But we had somebody in the chat room say that we have fear from change, yet we crave what we fear. And my response was maybe because there's a higher wisdom pulling us toward what we need to heal. The other thing is the comment I had about Dr. Androcki was talking about, this came up yet again. It comes up fairly frequently in our group. But the idea that I'm hiding from myself the stuff that I've judged that's too painful, too scary, too overwhelming, etc. And that's exactly the stuff I need to see. And I like the way Guy Finley puts it so succinctly. He says, there is no such thing as bad self-knowledge. All of the stuff that I'm hiding from myself, that I'm
self is definitely
in my unconscious, is stuff I've already lived through. It's stuff that I've already compartmentalized, and I'm actively blocking myself from seeing it. So there's nothing in there that is going to hurt me. It's only the opportunity to heal when I look at it. And what area code might David be in from?
David's number will be 417255 will be his prefix. But one of the thoughts that I love to offer people is whatever it is they're hiding in themselves, you survived it on the way in, you'll survive it on the way out. Let go of it, because all it can do is do its damage while it's in hiding. Once you take it out of hiding, you can't do any more damage. You know, it's going to be cleaned up and out of hiding in that space of forgiveness and of active love.
Yep, exactly. Well, I have David's, it shows that he's here, so I've opened him up. If David, if you're there and you want to say hello.
Hello, this is David. Every once in a while, David's phone doesn't actually click on the one, though he tells me that he's on it, so I don't know, there's something a little bit funky there.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, you're
can
there.
Hear you loud
there.
Here, David.
Okay. Well, I was on before. I raised my hand, and then all of a sudden it went to an advertisement, so I don't know. I'm doing well here. I'm doing well. It's, I think that what we talk about every day, and when people call in with their questions and their concerns, then what always comes up for me and what my support is always about, it's about putting the information into an action form in order to have your own individual experience. Without that, without actually doing the worksheet, then it's still just intellectualizing. And mental, you know, understanding and getting new information is important. One of the things that you pointed out to me years ago, Michael, was that it's part of the learning process and part of the of getting an understanding about anything is to gather the information and then put the information into action. So therefore, it creates an experience. And from that experience, well, then there's a new insight. And from that insight is where the shift really happens, that, you know, briefly, and I can grasp something on an intellectual level, and then it's gone. I've told this story many times about 35 years ago, when I was involved in motivational speaking and motivational people, you know, attending seminars with Zig Ziglar and Ira Hayes and Dennis Waitley, and I had been part of that organization for several years. I remember attending one and met Zig Ziglar, got an autograph, talked with him, and before I actually got out of the auditorium where we were doing this, it was like the conversations in my head were right back there about, so what do I do now? And the whole idea is really, that they were advocating as well, is to put the information into personal action. And through that personal action, and I think Julie's been experiencing some of that by participating on the radio with you, Michael, and doing her work. And from that, then there's a new reality, and there's an experience or at least the direction of pointing into having the experience of what truth is and what love is. So that's always my support, that, you know, hey, put this in action, test it, see what comes up for you, what your experience of it is, what your realities. For that's really what the work is all about. It's just mine.
Yeah, I think you're right on, David. And so many people will take the tool, they'll sit in a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop and go, wow, this is awesome. Wow, this is really powerful, really cool. And, you know, I'll go through a series, you know, the workshop will be Sunday. We'll do Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. I'll say, well, how many people have done their 5 worksheets a day? And, you know, one person will put their hand up. Well, how many have done 4? Nobody. 3? Nobody. 2? Oh, maybe two people out of 50. And 1, and it'll be maybe 3 people have done 1 worksheet. It's like, why did you sit through 4 hours of workshops on Sunday to not use the tool, to not take it and put it into some kind of work? And until somebody puts the pen to the paper and sees how their realities change, they don't know that that happens. They hear it intellectually, but the intellectual knowing of it is not the experience of it. And once you have the experience, and to me, you know, taking the time to sit and delve into the deeper parts of the mind and clean up the stuff that's there is so exciting, and it's fun. I mean, it's really quite enlightening and quite enlivening and delightful to do.
Michael?
Sorry, Paul. Yes, sir.
We have Nene on the phone, and she said she'd like to discuss a change of pattern she was able to do thanks to a misunderstanding with a friend.
Awesome. Nene, welcome. We haven't heard your sweet voice in a while. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I've been a little bit busy at this time, but sometimes I'm just in the chat room just listening, because it's been so interesting lately. You know, we're always, but the other day with the lady that you were going through the worksheet, so you know, those are moments to listen to. Okay, well,
so you found a new insight, a new piece to your puzzle?
Yes, I had. The other day I had the blessing to have a healing touch session with Maria, and while she was doing the healing touch, and I was doing my breathing, the still point breathing, and I went to a very, very strong moment, so strong, because I remember the still point was very long, and I remember seeing blue. Everything was blue, turquoise, blue. And then I came out of it a little bit, and then I started feeling, and I said, Maria, my belly is hurting very much, the energy. I said, yeah. So I went into a very deep layer, and I had a memory that I said, Maria, I'm seeing a knife, somebody's going to stab me. And I went through that healing, that coming out of the energy so vividly. And I tried to breathe and make it smooth, but at points that my body was moving, you know, in the contraction of the movement of the issue. And I said, Maria, they're killing me. I'm dying. They're killing me. And then I remember screaming and saying, Mama, calling my mother, and all that. And it was so powerful. And after a while, I remember my breathing started being more calm and more relaxed. And I saw, on my left side, I saw a light, blue, white and yellowish. So that was very, very powerful coming out of that. And that was at night. Then I went home, and at midnight, I was still feeling through my toes, like, you know, shocks of electricity, like coming out of my toes. That was so strong, and it was very strong for her. So after that, next day and then last couple of days, big shift. It's opening to me, and I've been able to be more like compassionate and more, I get faster into being conscious about myself, being conscious about my internal work. And it's where I, wherever I go, it's I see everything so, I don't know how to explain well, perhaps. Like I'm there and I see everybody, but I have like my own space. It's kind of confusing.
Well, you go back and you hear Paul saying things like, we see as though through a glass darkly. And in our genetics, we have the memory of everything that's ever happened to anybody and everybody in our bloodline, as well as our own experiences. And so if we're seeing through those things, we're one of the things that Julie touched into in her worksheet the day before, it was this dullness. This layer that just burdens things, and you know, that's the sort of thing. And I acknowledge you for your work. It's been over a year that you've really been deeply working, and I think you've stuck to your five worksheets a day for over a year now, and so you're developing the discernment and the ability to decode those kinds of messages that are within your structure, and when you take them off, it's just like, you know, it's literally an energetic load that you don't have to carry and that you don't have to see through anymore. And that's powerful stuff. That changes lives in a hurry. So congratulations.
Yes, and it's very interesting because previous to that work, my thoughts were that I was feeling asphyxiated for whatever happened. I feel like I was in a place with a lot of people. I felt asphyxiated. I went dancing. I felt asphyxiated. I went to Publix and I saw a lot of people in the grocery shopping. Wherever I went, I was feeling that. And then my daughter called me that she was a little bit sick. And also I felt, and I think that's what I felt during the process. It's like life was against me or something like that. And then after coming out of that, seeing that new light was getting rid of that part of the genetics. And then today I feel a lot better. I'm renewed. I've been receiving calls for other people for some breathing. Like everything is starting to be smooth again.
Fabulous. And, you know, when you many people live in a world where they're in that claustrophobic state, and it comes from, you know, when someone goes through the death process, oftentimes toward the end of the deathing process, there is a closure, a closing down of the visual field, and that closure and the terror of losing life because of thinking one's a body becomes activated in the genetics and passed on to generations energetically. And so that's the sort of thing that leads to that claustrophobic feeling that that needs to be cleared out of the structure. And so you'll probably find that a layer of that claustrophobic kind of thing that is I can't breathe is lifting, and that's fabulous. I mean, what a dark glass to get rid of, to get to throw that one on, not
yes,
have to carry it around on your back anymore.
Yes, yes. And also, it was interesting, I have a friend who invited me to the movie this weekend, and we had a misunderstanding. It's like she said she wanted to go and see two movies, and I said, I understood that we have two movies to choose from. And then when she tells me the itinerary, and I said, well, I cannot do that. And, you know, we got into the conflict, into the misunderstanding. And then immediately, and she told me, well, this is, I said to her, listen, if it's a whole day, like, I can't do those two movies at the same time or one after the other, whatever. And she said, well, this, you're disappointing me. And immediately I said, well, let's breathe for a moment. I think what you're telling me is that you are triggered in your own feelings of disappointment. So let me check what's going on for me. So I breathe and I say, well, inside of me, I'm feeling guilt. Okay. I say, who goes first? If she was a little bit in shock, like she didn't expect me,
awesome.
But she's, yeah, but she was, she has been training. She has attended my lectures, your lectures. She has been doing some work. And, but it's so easy to fall back into the old pattern of the guilt and the arguments and being right and all that. And she was in silence for a moment, and I said, okay, this is how I'm feeling, and I get rid out of these feelings. Will you support me in my healing? And she went, like, very low voice, okay, okay. She was starting to realize that I was talking in a different energy, and I said, okay, I'm willing to support in yours. Well, how are you feeling inside? And she said, well, it's disappointment's been triggered. I said, okay. I said, I offer you this invitation. We'll hang up. I'll do my worksheet. You do your worksheet, and we'll talk again because we're dealing with something here. So I called her back like 10 minutes later, and I said, listen, it's fine. I'm going to go to the two movies. That's okay. And what I was dealing was that because I was born when my mother was a grandmother, by the time I was 7, 9, 10 years old, and I want to go to the painting class and the ballet class and all that, that was, for me, you know, joy and creativity and what I liked, my mother would say, no, 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 no. I already had my other older group, and they did everything. You stay home. I don't have time for that. I'm very, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go and take you to the ballet class, whatever. So many times when I wanted something that was happy or entertaining, my mother would say, no, I'm too tired. I already did that with the first group. Sorry. So when I've noticed that sometimes when there's two or three things for me to have fun, immediately there is like a guilt, and I somehow sabotage it. So I expressed that to her, and she, you know, she understood. I said, and she started again. Well, yeah, because I planned this, and I told you this, and I told you that. I said, let's stop the drama. Okay, clean your stuff. I clean mine. Let's get more closer, you know, closer as friends, because we are so close friends. That's why it's triggering so much. So she got it, and then, okay, so we clean it, and I was happy that I was able to come out of the pattern very quick.
That's really powerful. And have you done any additional worksheets around that with that that guilt around wanting to go and have fun and inhibiting yourself? You know, it's interesting because there's what your power person did to you as a child, and when the stress comes up, there you are doing it to yourself, inhibiting your fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pretty,
yeah.
That's a nice catch. Nice catch, Walden.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So, well, I think I'm going to do, I think I've done two or three around that issue, but it also has to be with the claustrophobic. So it's coming one thing is bringing out the other one.
Right, they're tied in together.
Yeah, they're tied
very
in together.
Nice insights, nice work. You've been working for a long time now and consistently doing your inner process, and the way you're sharing it with others is, you know, how many friendships could benefit from that kind of a change in energy from, you know, the tit for tat and pointing fingers into each one taking responsibility and becoming lighter and healing as a result rather than, you know, separating and creating trauma. Nice catch to invite her to let go of the drama and to move forward in healing. That's just awesome.
Yeah, yeah, and it's funny because you said, am I in drama? Yes, you are being in drama. You're telling me like 20 times that, you know, let's get out of it. Let's forget about that. Let's create something new about this beautiful energy, you know, the truth inside of us. Let's create something that bonds us from, you know, from love, from understanding, from awesome presence. So, and it felt very good. Of course, I got the original.
Very cool. Well, I understand we're going to see you on Sunday in Boca Raton?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, for those who happen to be down in the Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Boca Raton, West Palm Beach area, we're going to be starting on Sunday morning at the Science of Mind Center at Palmetto Park, just east of I-95. We'll be doing the Sunday service. I believe it's at 10:30, if I remember correctly, but check the flyer on the website to make sure. And then we'll be doing Why Is This Happening to Me again in the afternoon. And then Monday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night, we'll be doing a series of free workshops in Boca Raton. And then on Saturday at the Heart Painter Studio, we'll be at doing Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing, an all-day workshop that will start at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's next Saturday now, isn't it already? Yes. So we'll look forward to seeing you all there. And Nene, I hope you'll consent to coming and assisting us with that workshop.
Absolutely. Yes, I have it in my calendar.
Cool. Now the level of training in this work. Fabulous. Yep. Fabulous. Well, anything else to share with us?
In respect, you know, after I had that little conversation with my friend, I just feel very... Each time I do this, I can see immediately how positive, how constructive it is to really get rid of the power person. Because I knew in that moment of the conflict, it was her power person and my power person. So, and I was able to, in that moment, you know, talk it and say it, and immediately my energy started changing. And I feel very good now. So I encourage everybody to continue doing the work.
Awesome. Well, very cool. Thank you, Nene, for your call. We'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
I will. Me too. Hugs.
Thanks, Nene. Well, you have a minute and a half.
So inspiring those results. Go ahead, Dr. Tim.
I said you have a minute and a half.
Yes, sir. We do, and for those who are in Boca, come join us on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. We'll look forward to seeing you, and then the next week we'll actually be in Tampa, at Unity North in Tampa. We'll be doing 7 days of workshops there in a row, beginning 2 weeks from Sunday. And then we're doing a 4-day mini intensive, non-residential mini in Sarasota, Florida. And then we'll be heading to Palm Coast, just south of St. Augustine, where we'll do a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive, which is already full. The registration's filled on that one. And then on the 14th, we'll begin a second 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again. And I think we've got about 5 spaces left in that workshop. So if anybody wants to come to Florida and do a residential 9-day intensive, we'll be here in Florida, April, middle of April. Should be awesome weather. We've got a huge, beautiful house right on the intercoastal waterway with the dock and all. It'll be a really beautiful session. So we're glad that you're with us, and we'll look forward to seeing your sweet face in Boca. Bring a stranger with you tomorrow and create the best year yet of your eternal life. Take care and blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.